Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's like you're talking to Bio and Cam, and now, crushing the...
I mean, I need English majors. I need English majors.
You so should bow out.
I want to. I don't... Yeah. It's, you know, walk now that away. It's upon me, as you know...
Yeah.
Never
I don't
panic.
I don't totally. Want to go. The same way.
It seems like a good
it's
idea
a long
at the time.
Drive. I don't really want to go. I don't want to make the speech. It's going to be hot. I'm just...
Hot.
And I said to Nigel this inside. Morning, why just can't they mail me this?
Seems like a good idea.
They mail me? It's a piece of paper.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. Plausibly live from Chatter at breakfast time. We open at 8, and we have a good breakfast crowd today in
nice
the rain
crowd.
In Washington, D.C.
It's very nice.
In the rain
very
in
impressive.
Washington, D.C. Oh, that's very, very nice. At the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest.
Most of them wondering who you are and what you're doing here, but still a nice crowd for breakfast.
When is the sign going to change?
Oh, God, why would you do that?
Why would you start
I like
Monday?
To poke the bear.
Great way to open the show.
I like to poke the bear. Yeah.
I can't believe you did that.
Yeah. Just walked by it today, and I just I felt disappointed and sad.
Dude. We have a letter from J.R. Carell. J.R. Carell in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, who says that he got his friend Brian Rayner into the show.
Rainer.
He didn't wish Brian Rayner a happy birthday on the 15th of May. I'm hoping you can wish him happy birthday on the pod waves. So there you go. And he said with the podcast delay, it should reach him for next year's birthday.
Yeah.
We have no podcast delay anymore. We have that. We have a letter here from Orangeville, Ontario, Chris McFarlane in Canada, who
Pit
writes,
him.
As you were recently discussing your frustration with getting signs made, apropos of Chris's hurtful
words
comment
hurt.
Just 30 seconds
your
ago.
Your words are hurtful.
I thought right away of the garden signs that my mother has started making. Her garden is full of them, and I wanted to send a couple along as tribute and a thank you for all the years of entertainment and laughter you've provided to me and the woman to whom I'm related by marriage. Perhaps... Please do as you'd like with the signs, but is your garden, Michael's or for the deer at the little house, perhaps in the studio, even in the prize closet. And he sent us these fabulous signs. One
gorgeous.
Is the cheesery.
They're really cool.
And one is, Gary, what does that say?
Look here for red bocce balls.
So we could put that in the garden
very
somewhere.
Very nice, like ceramic.
We've been listening since Washington Post Radio, and my father has watched PTI since it started. I used to watch, but I've been podcasting it for the last 10 years. Sylvia and I made the drive from the Toronto area to Pittsburgh last fall for our wedding anniversary. The main purpose of the trip was to watch the Nationals play. They become a second team for us. We were happy to have Zach Britton stay off the wild card game as we now follow the goings-on with D.C. sports teams. So this is really, it's very, very nice. Says he includes everybody and says say hi to everybody. Those are very nice things. I'm very grateful. I'm always
very
grateful
nice.
For things I can use.
Yeah, that's useful.
And that's really, really nice. The lead story today in this particular show is, to me, an amazing result in the NBA playoffs. It's amazing.
Yes.
Boston beats Cleveland last night in Cleveland without Isaiah Thomas. It's not possible. It was 66-50 at the half. In the first quarter, Kevin Love had 15 points.
Yeah.
It was 66-50 at the half.
Or 15
You're at home. Half. You want to finish. Golden State looks like it's going to finish. Fo-fo-fo. And you're Cleveland, and you've been beating people, at least in the last the second round and the first part. What did they win game two by in Boston?
44.
I mean, they were up 72-24 at one point.
I mean,
it's like a JV basketball game where you're like, how is that score possible?
Mount Vesuvius blowing up.
Right.
You can't be done in the pros.
If Mike Tyson boxed me, that's sort of what it would look like.
And they were up in the third quarter last night. They were up 21, a stat I heard this morning.
I can't.
You want to take a shot at their record in the LeBron James record with a 20-point lead in the second half in the playoffs? 49-0.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I mean, I turned the game off. I stopped at the half.
That's
there was no chance that Boston, without its best player on the road, had just been drummed twice. They can't win the game in Cleveland. They can't win the game.
It was not just over. It was boring.
Yeah.
I mean, that game was boring all the way until the comeback, which happened in the blink of an eye. They just started draining threes.
I can't imagine, I mean, seriously, anyone who is not either a diehard Boston fan, who probably turned it off, or a diehard Cavs fan who watched that game after the first quarter. I mean, it just turned it off.
So
why would you have any, you would have no sense that that was even possible.
LeBron had 11 in the game. and zero in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Look, listen.
We are reminded of that in Washington. Stars getting zero in the fourth quarter.
45 minutes. So it's not like, you know, when LeBron scores 11.
What, did he pass up shots late? Did he just not tape them?
He definitely passed shots up.
Now, well, he passed to open guys who missed shots.
Right. They doubled him, and it to tie the game at 106, I think, they immediately doubled him. He threw it to J.R. Smith, who made a three. So
they have great players. Like, this is not the rest of the rest of Cleveland is not the rest of Boston. The rest of Cleveland has great players. Yeah. They're supposed to win that game. It's not this is an impossible result,
it's
right?
Not possible.
I mean, you look at that team. So I was just, Jerebko, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
They play a lot of guys.
Six guys in double figures, Boston.
Brad Stevens plays a lot of guys.
That's what they do.
Kyrie had 29. I mean, Kyrie was 10 for 15
Love
from
had 28.
The field.
Yeah.
And Love was 8
for
16.
Well, those guys from 3-point shot a combined 11 of 19. I mean, they... And Tristan Thompson had a beast.
18 and 13.
It's an amazing game. By the way, I forgot to introduce people today. I didn't introduce Gary Braun. I didn't introduce Chris Saliza. I didn't introduce Michael Kornheiser, nor did I introduce Nigel.
So or Dr.
Well, we'll
Anthony.
Get to that.
I noticed you.
No, it's not. It's not Dr. Anthony.
Dr. Tony?
Dr. Tony. Dr.
Oh,
Tony.
That's even better.
Dr. Tony Kornheiser.
Mr. Dr.
Use
Tony.
Use the stage name.
It's Dr. Tony. Because I think that was, it's in that part of my life.
Yeah. Born Anthony Kornheiser, became Tony Kornheiser.
Well, I guess. But we'll get to that later.
Yes.
So, but here's, I was going to spend the entire morning today knowing that these series were going to be over 4-0, saying why would the NBA allow there to be a hiatus of 9 days? This is the series that everybody wants to watch. And I knew would come back and say, well, they have scheduling problems. Well, they have no scheduling problems. Here's why you have no scheduling problems in the NBA. Because you always have two teams playing off to see who gets to the finals, which means you're never certain, unlike the Super Bowl, you're never certain where they're going to be. So you have flexibility. Because it is very
possible. And you might have to do it on a few days' notice.
2 to 3 days.
Yeah, right.
So it exists, so you can do this. So if they both went out in four, wouldn't you think that 2 days later you start the one series that people want to see?
The only, you're able to do it. And in truth, this has been a terrible
playoffs. Have been terrible.
I mean, this Boston win, which I don't think anybody watched, is probably a top five playoff game this year because the playoffs have been just unwatchable.
Because usually somebody wins by 30 points.
Right. Yeah.
So that's very, very surprising.
Although
you get
an extra week of hype, you get the guys some rest, some much
needed
rest.
They've had some rest. They haven't
after
they
12
don't even
games
play.
In a month.
they don't even
a
play.
Month and a half.
You know what? It's possible that this could end up being like, at least for the first game, like the Rose Bowl. A game where there's so much time between the end of the regular season and this one game that you play that you're not the same
team. It's a bad game, right?
You're not the same team at all. I mean, I just.
Well, I have never been more convinced that a 2-1 series is over.
It's over. Oh no, it's over. The next two games will be 40 points.
With the one win is on a one game winning streak. Yeah. It is zero momentum.
LeBron will score like 150 points.
Absolutely,
the next game.
Absolutely, he'll do that.
I mean, for him to score 11 is astonishing. That when that happens, either win or lose by 30. I mean, he doesn't score 11
and
in a game
not
they
hurt.
Lose by three where he plays 40
He was not injured.
Minutes.
He played a ton. No. Like Gary said, he played basically the entire game.
There's one other thing I want to get to, and that is the closing of the circus. The last performance ever of the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus was at the Nassau Coliseum, which is now nearly 50 years old, because I remember when it was built in Uniondale. And I come back to the same question that when they announced this was going to happen, which is how can this happen? How can there not be a circus with animal acts? Is there no way to do this humanely? There would seem to me to be a way to do this. I mean, it's 146 years of circus. Everybody here who had a kid took their kid to the circus.
Right.
You buy the glow stick. You do this. This is one of the rites of passage. This is what you do.
And we have talked about it before on air, but when they got rid of the elephants. But I took my kids last year at Verizon Center. And it was, I mean, it is genuinely magical for the kids. I was terrified terrified the whole time that I was going to see actual death because of some of the things they do seem very risky to me.
Well, the things in the cage and
the motorcycles in the cage. I was like, don't put any more motorcycles in the cage.
No.
I'm fine with seven.
One more.
What if the guy has an itch?
One more. Yeah.
But
two
it is
more.
It is truly magical. I mean, it really is. The kids were like, over the moon.
And
excited.
unlike when you go to, for example, a car race, and part of you thinks, well, I'd like to see a wreck. I'd like to see them be well. I'd like
hurt.
To see a wreck. Nobody really roots for the animals to kill the trainers.
No.
You're sort of amazed. You're just amazed at the courage and that the animals do all these things.
That lion.
Is there no way to have a humane animal act?
I think there is. I think the problem is the people who are against that will never accept any treatment of the animals as anything other than inhumane. So I think those people will...
The fact that they're in a circus,
yeah,
they view as inhumane.
Excellent job speaking for an entire population of which you are not a member. So kudos to you on that.
Well, we've got circuses
over
England.
I have a dog. The dog has a trainer. I think it's humanely done. The orangutans were so funny.
Yeah.
Great.
They were so funny. The lions and tigers, the elephant.
I've seen a circus
who
with trained
love
pigs.
This?
I've seen a circus with trained pigs.
And was it great?
Yeah, it was really cool.
The damn dog like, acts.
Have you seen the bicycle bit that they Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey started doing?
No.
One woman comes out riding this little bicycle. She's riding it around. Then like 10 women come out and they're doing all these crazy things with the bike. Then these dudes come out. Now they've got like 30 bikes like propped on. I mean, it's really, there are really neat things that I don't know where those,
and this
forget
is going
the animals.
So
I don't know
old,
where those
the only
going
thing that is left.
You'll still have like the Cirque du Soleil.
That's
the
not,
circus will reinvent itself.
That's
the
not what
Soleil
I'm talking about.
The circus.
That's an acrobatic
act. Freak show.
That's an acrobatic
I mean, that's the fine. French.
That's not.
Trust them with our circus?
That's.
I know a circus. It's actually very close to where I live.
Circus?
It's called Circus Circus. And what they do is they have very large gentlemen try and drink used cooking oil.
Oh,
that is interesting.
And it's 25-gallon record.
Fight a crocodile drunk.
Are we the only ones that mourn this?
No.
I think a lot of people do. But again, the people who
loudest
are
voices
are so loud.
Are, yeah.
Yes, they're so loud and say, can't do this.
Wait, I understand the SeaWorld stuff. I get the SeaWorld stuff. But in this case, I'm just asking, can large animals not be trained humanely? They can't?
I would think they
can.
Well,
Nigel spent those years at that large animal training school.
Can you humanely get a human being to do something they don't want to do? Humanely?
And how
do you can offer them more money.
Okay, well,
how do you know the animal? The animal cannot communicate that it doesn't want to do it necessarily.
The thing you're training it to do.
Well, that's my point.
So the
you can never know that the animal can't consent. That's the issue.
If they could get,
they can't say like, "Hey, this is really fun. I love going up on
thumb.
My back legs and doing my thing."
And it just mashes the pen. It can't even.
So true.
Can't handle
my dog. If my dog recognizes somebody at the front door, the dog is a human helicopter. It leaps off the ground time and time again, smashes into the door to greet this person.
Can you get it?
Seems to be expressing happiness.
Right.
It seems to be expressing happiness. Are none of these animals expressing any?
I don't know. I mean, why won't your dog do that when no one's at the door? Could you get Chessie to do that when no one's at the door?
She
at will. Just
I
by,
don't
say,
know.
Cracking a whip across her back.
I don't want to crack a whip.
Okay.
You know,
I mean, we're pro-circus, but that's the argument is that. It's impossible to consent.
It's over.
Underrated.
It's over.
Where did freak shows go? I always thought those were cool. I went to a freak show one time. It was amazing.
Bearded lady.
Michael thinks it was at a rest stop in Pennsylvania.
I don't mean a traditional freak show.
Well, those are the carnies. Those
yeah.
are the carnivals.
Yeah, circus
they are
folk.
Not,
nomads.
Not,
very small hands.
I
a
don't
see
yeah.
smell
yeah.
of smell of cabbage.
Carnivals sure. still exist.
Yeah, but not those.
No, they are a bite.
Not yeah. freak show.
Yeah, I went to a carnival.
You let your kids get on the rides at the carnival? I wouldn't do that.
I know.
100%.
Those things go down.
Did it this weekend.
Those things go down.
McLean Day was this weekend. Carnival. Took them up on the...
Oh, you went with him?
Ferris wheel.
I thought
I
you
assumed,
were afraid of these things.
I mean, my wife wouldn't do it, so I had to put two kids. And, hey, kids, have fun on the Ferris wheel. Yes, yeah. Daddy's not going.
Michael, I would have done
totally
that.
Totally
right?
makeshift.
You would have.
I would have
yeah,
done that.
It's
fun. They had one of those things that whips around. I'm not going on that because that thing has been built literally 10 minutes ago.
Right.
You know? Yes. And yeah. the guys running it are like checking their phones the whole time. It's so dicey.
How about that little choo-choo train that goes around the track?
Checking
that's for
the
me.
Timeline.
That's for me.
That's fine. Solizzo. That's going 3 miles an hour.
CNN, whatever.
Yeah. All right. We'll get out of here. We will come back. Michael Wilbon will join us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a brand new read.
Very
this
exciting.
Is Bowl and Branch.
Don't
I
mess
was
this
unfamiliar
one up.
With this, so I was going to just read it straight, and start with
this.
You're
just going
to
mail it in?
You don't need to spend a fortune to get the rest you need. Great sleep starts with the right sheets, and they're more affordable than you think with Boll & Branch. When Nigel said it's the Boll & Branch ad, Chris said,
I'm a connoisseur of nice sheets. I mean, obviously.
He said, look, I only go 1,000
Look at me. Yeah, I mean, what do you think? I'm sleeping on some, like, you know, garbage? No. Yeah. They're really nice sheets. We don't have them, but I've heard of them in our pursuit of very high thread count sheets. They're quite nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as the copy says, the right sheets can take your sleep and your style to the next level, whatever that is. With Boll & Branch, that upgrade has never been more affordable. Let me give you the three most important words for getting a good night's sleep. Comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. And if you want the best sleep of your life, you need to be comfortable. And Boll & Branch sheets are just what you need. So, Chris, we should get Chris.
I mean,
we should
I don't know. There's a discount code. He can get his own sheets.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't. I'm not made of money.
He's making money over at CNN.
You wanted the Batman sheets, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What makes them unique is that each sheet is crafted from 100% organic cotton. That means Boll & Branch sheets not only feel incredible, they also look amazing. And since Boll & Branch sells exclusively online, you don't pay that expensive retail markup. That's half the price for twice the quality. You will love these sheets. You can try them for 30 nights and see for yourself. If you're not impressed, return them for a full refund. Anyone who sleeps on Boll & Branch sheets loves them, and that's why they have thousands of five-star reviews. The New York Times, Forbes, and the Wall Street Journal rave about them, and even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. So go to BollandBranch.com today. You'll get $50 off your first set of sheets. 50 off plus free shipping when you use the promo code Tony. That's $50 off plus free shipping right now at BollandBranch.com. That's B-O-L-L and Branch, B-R-A-N-C-H.com. Promo code is Tony. Once again, that's BollandBranch.com. Promo code Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Listen up.
It's a song for Wilbon.
I went for a meal of chatter, but I caused a terrible scene. When they asked me what was the matter, I said I don't see one damn chili bean. I walked here from Chicago.
Some Wilbon chili blues.
Wore two holes in both my Gucci shoes.
Ferragamos is what he wears, though, of course.
They say life just ain't worth a living when you got them Michael Ray, Wilbon, Little Bon, three screens on a Hall of Fame, Raj on Chili Blue.
You love that, don't you? How great is that, Wilbon? How great
That's
is
funny,
that?
Tony.
That is
Very
great.
Funny.
That is from Robert and Bowie. Very that is funny. The Wilbon Chili Blues. Wilbon Chili is on the menu here. So last night, Mike and I talked, I don't know, about between 7 and 8. We chatted between 7 and 8. I expressed my displeasure that when after each team won in four games that they were going to have to wait 8 or 9 days for game one of the finals, the only thing I really wanted to see. And then I turned on, I said, when's the game on? And he told me. I turned on Turner game last night. I turned on, I watched the first half. I stopped. The game is over. It's 66-50, and the game is over. I wake up this morning to find out that Boston had won that game. Shockingly surprising to me. And to you?
Shockingly, Tony, and it's shocking, and I watched it. I mean, I there was a period where they were up, again, 16 or 17 points, the Cavaliers, in the third. I'm in my hotel room, and I sort of dozed off.
Yeah.
And I missed about 15 minutes of real time. I wake up, and it's down to like 8 or 9, and I said, whoa, I better start watching that.
Especially if they have you on SportsCenter, you probably should watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so, of course, I remember it gets to 2 at 89-87. And I call my brother to just make sure he's not turned off. And I called Don. I said, Don, are you watching? Yeah, I'm watching. I go, no, you're not. You're not watching because your voice is not telling me you're watching. And he goes, oh, I dozed off. It was up 16. I'm like, wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. Watch the game. And I just hear expletives because he can't believe, nobody can believe the game is at that point. It's a two-point game. And no, Tony, there was a period yesterday. I did a conversation with Draymond Green for both SportsCenter and Countdown. And we're in a golf cart yesterday at the La Quintero Resort where the team – I shouldn't have said that – where the team's staying. And camera's rolling, and I say to Draymond Green, are you going to watch tonight? And he goes, no. What am I going to watch that for?
Yeah.
What am I going to? Why am I going to watch that? And it was, of course, it's the response that everyone had.
Yeah.
Everyone. It wasn't trying to be flip. It was just like, no, the Cleveland's great, and they're going to. They've been crushing these games, and no, there's no drama there. And of course, there was no drama, except there was drama. And so, wow. And of course, the knee-jerk reaction we all have is, well, they can't actually win another game. And I guess that's right, except if you win one, you can win another one.
I can't imagine them winning another game. I mean, it seems like a wake-up call to me, but maybe you're right. But I can't imagine it.
If LeBron wants to be a conscientious objector, they can win.
Well,
None in the fourth quarter. He John Walled the fourth quarter.
Yeah. He was passing up shots.
Dude. Yeah.
The funny thing was, I didn't just watching the game and not charting anything, or you know, just naked eye, not having a box score in front of me. I didn't think Cleveland played poorly. I didn't.
Kevin Love had five threes in the first quarter.
Yeah. Nine threes. If you say, give me the formula for Cleveland losing this game, I go, well, Boston's got to play an A-plus game. Cavaliers are going to have to stink it out.
And they didn't.
And they didn't stink it out.
They didn't.
You know, and so, I mean, Brad Stevens is being praised like no coach since Red Auerbach. But I think, you know, you got to win more than one. I don't know if they can.
I don't think they can, but I mean, I look at this game, just the combination of circumstances. That game's in Cleveland. I mean, if you ask me, who's got less of a chance to win, San Antonio without Kawhi Leonard or Boston without Isaiah Thomas? I'm going to say Boston without Isaiah Thomas. I think that's less of a chance to win.
Yeah.
Cleveland probably, well, I don't know if they want to end it in a hurry. Maybe they don't care because they haven't played in so long. But you're at home. Mike, you're going to win that game. And they didn't win that game.
Well, here's why you have to win it in a hurry, Tony, or why you need to. You've seen the playoffs. The story of the playoffs is injuries.
Yeah, you don't.
You have to get off the floor. You have to get your people home into a bubble in the NBA right now. Because if you don't, whether it's the first round with Rajon Rondo or, you know, whatever the round is, people are going down like flies. So you know, after 100 games, and the human body isn't not going to take that. I mean, you have to get off the floor and get the series over. And so now I think people will say, wow, well, the Spurs are going to see this and you know, okay, maybe they'll be inspired a little bit.
Well,
I think they were already inspired tonight.
I mean, I always thought they could win one.
If you're Golden State,
you're
hammering. You have not been playing nearly as well as the Cavaliers.
That's right.
Not nearly as well.
Don't you think, Wilb, on Friday night, though, plays a part of that? I mean, there's the pride component, of course, and when your team is as good as Boston, you get blown out like that. But also when you're Cleveland, even though you know this and you're a veteran team, it's just you beat somebody by that much. I mean, it's got to be hard, even though they know they want to get out of there.
Yes, it is. It's hard. And Brad Stevens did get to his team. And I think there might have been something to the Celtics playing a lot differently without Isaiah Thomas. Actually, the ball movement that they were able to generate last night.
Well, the way they involved Smart offensively, hadn't seen that really in a playoff.
He's also not nearly the three-point shooter that he showed last night. I mean, the averages would suggest that he's not going to go. I think he was 7 for 10 or something.
I mean, that's part of winning any one game like this.
Yeah, right. Kelly Olynyk against the Wizards.
Yeah. Kelly Olynyk, exactly. So that's part of winning a game like this when you're down and the other team is so much better than you are. But I think, and because the Warriors had not played well, I mean, for them, they had not played great so far in this series, I think that they will look at this and go, all right, there's the opening. The Cavaliers dropped their guard. Let's hit them in the mouth. And by the way, they're playing each other already. So that's why I'm speaking like that. They're playing each other. The signals, the message that the Cavaliers sent the previous game when they won by 50, it wasn't to Boston, it was to Golden State.
Yeah. All of which is true.
They're playing each other.
So the interesting thing for me is much of the conversation that Mike and I have last night is me saying to him this.
So we're going to have fo-fo-fo in both sides.
Right.
And then we're going to have to wait 9 days.
Fo-fo-fo-nine.
That's crazy. Yeah. Why would you wait 9 days? So let's pretend we're actually having that conversation, because you had a very interesting answer as to why. My idea would be you just move it up, because in basketball, like in hockey, every time there's a playoff, there's a chance that the other team will win. So you have to have flexibility with arenas. You know that going in. So just move it up. What's the difference? And you said what?
The finals. You can't for the finals, Tony. There's too much at stake. It's like you don't move the Super Bowl up. Now, granted,
that's different.
You've got a state on the other end too. But you can't move this up because of the preparation that it takes to pull off this one event. And I'll cut to the chase. There's a lot of considerations, but let me just give you the latest one that I know of. When somebody mentioned it to me the other day, I was like, oh, wow, I hadn't thought of that. And it is this, Tony. The unlike other sports, soccer and basketball, and this is basketball for North America, for the United States of America, it is global. And when you come to the NBA Finals now, so much of the international press, or of the press, is international. So much of the media. And so you look around and it's like you go, oh my God, what am I covering? This is not, Bill Russell versus Wilt, and you got people from Philly and Boston and Chicago No, this, so much of what you see is Chinese press or media, India. I mean, people come from around the world to cover this. And you know what? They can't, in this day and age where, first of all, the amount of American media, the percentage drops because there's not as much of it. I mean, there's as much of it in some ways because you got websites and blogs and people that we didn't have, 30 years ago. But you so much of your concentration is overseas. They're traveling. They're spending a lot of money. The ratings where they are enormous. I mean, the ratings in China for an NBA game live, okay, it may have started with Yao Ming, but it didn't end there. There are much greater numbers of people watching internationally. You can't blow that off.
I wouldn't blow it off. I'm just saying that if both of these,
cover your game, your championship.
If both of these series went seven,
them.
If both series went seven, then you'd have within 3 days, you might have to scramble. Where's game one going to be? So I know they have to have some flexibility. If they don't want to start, fine. But I think that if they don't start, and the series are 4-0 and 4-1, and they don't start, as much as people want to watch Golden State and Cleveland, some momentum will be lost with casual fans. That's my only point.
No, it won't be lost with casual fans. It'll be lost with people who become annoyed because they're accustomed to seeing a certain thing, like you and me. Not hardcore people, though. But for the people that they are concerned about, it isn't going to be lost. We're not talking about people sitting down to watch TNT and turning on their local cable provider in the United States of America necessarily.
Okay, let me get to one other thing.
An entirely different dynamic that didn't exist, and again, it's not the only one. But it is one of the ones, and I had that expressed to me the other night. I hadn't thought of it on my own, but when I look around in the arena that I am, I know that somebody is saying to me, hey, listen, can I interview you for the show that we're doing in China? And like, what? Yeah.
It's an international world. It's not like the others.
To play to.
All right, this is even more important. Here's what happens in Binghamton when I'm up there. The basketball coach of Binghamton University, Tommy Dempsey, says this to me. Hey, what we're trying to do is Northwestern is opening up its new facility this season. We'd love to go there for the first...
Not this season, 18. Not
whatever.
Season.
Yeah. We'd love to go there for the first game. Would you and Mike do PTI from there, Binghamton against Northwestern? I said, I'd love to. That would be great fun. Mike, what do you think of this? What do you think? You'd win by 50, so.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto. I mean, awesome. I don't know about winning by 50, but
Ditto.
Are you kidding? I'd love that.
Binghamton's going there for the payday.
That's what happens in November for small schools.
Yeah.
They wind up going to play the power conferences.
But we could do the show from there. From the arena. One day from the arena. Right? That would be great fun.
Would love it. Would absolutely love it.
We could sit on the bench and they could we could interview coaches during timeouts. Because, of course, they would do that.
You think, would Chris Collins give me the pop treatment? Would I get that?
No, not from Chris Collins, you wouldn't.
Yeah, might. That'd
no.
be great. I have to call Chris and our no. director, Jim.
No, not only that, we could get Doug Collins to interview Chris Collins.
That'd be pretty good.
That would be great fun. All right, so we will do the show split screen today. Obviously, you are in San Antonio, so I will see you through the magic of television later. Thank you.
All right, Tone, sounds good.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is called She Ain't No Stranger. I'm going to read the email about this. As the lead vocalist and songwriter for my band, The Highballers, and the bearer of the name Kendall Jackson, not that Kendall Jackson, you can imagine how delighted I was to not only have our music played on my favorite podcast, but to also have The Wine, whose label that I annoyingly share, classified by your show as high-quality gas station wine. As if those were not enough to complete any Laura Little's lifetime goals, on the Tuesday, May 16th show, I heard lead-in music by our dear friends, the great honky-tonk band from Richmond, Andy Vaughn and The Driveline. The accompanying email from Slim Stanton, Andy Steele guitar player, included a note directly to me from Slim, which you so graciously read on the air. Not only is Mr. Tony's show a forum to feature original music, but also a conduit for bands to communicate. Who knew? It's very, very nice.
Isn't that lovely?
Michael, this stuff is...
You can continue to communicate with other bands by sending in your music to jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
And by the way, both Michael and I wore a tremendous amount of Johnny O over the weekend.
Yeah, we promoted the brand.
We in far-flung places.
Yes.
In Binghamton, New York. Far-flung places. Nigel, you have news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And ironically enough, this news report is brought to us by Kendall Jackson.
Fantastic.
A great wine tried at Ashiet's, a Cumberland Farms, or Shell Station near you.
We went to Ashiet's yesterday.
I went to Ashiet's yesterday,
We went to Ashiet's yesterday. The Ashiet's in Gettysburg. On York
I
Avenue.
Love that
one. Oh, they got the MTO counter there?
Yeah,
the
we went to that.
I used to go to that one all the time when my wife coached because we'd play at Gettysburg. Yeah. Oh, my God, I love that. That's a great town, too.
What'd you
Gettysburg
pay? Is $2.04 nice. A gallon?
No, $2.49.
Is that for premium?
Oh, it must be. Is it right off the main thing there?
On
right?
York Street?
Let me just say this. I paid $2.43. We used my credit card.
Attaboy.
I finally got you off cash.
Is that premium?
No.
We went low.
No. It's regular. My card takes regular. No. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Does your car only use
premium?
That's all he puts in it.
There's a word for that in America. Stupid.
It's idiot. Yeah, I was going to go with idiot.
That's right.
Didn't know it when you bought it.
Yeah. So, okay, what have you got?
Mr. Tony, we will start off with the Preakness from
this
past
weekend. Yes, what happened?
Cloud computing
won. How did Andy Beyer do?
I know that we're not going to have a triple crown.
Andy had ruled out Always Dreaming. Who finished 8th of 10.
So he was right. Yeah,
so he was good, I'm sure. He Always Dreaming. And he liked Classic Empire, who looked like, down the stretch, looked like Classic Empire was going to hang on and win, but just got nosed out at the end by Cloud Computing, who was, I think, a 13-1.
So he came in second?
Correct.
Yeah, very
with,
close.
Senior Investment, another long shot at something like 20-1, finishing third.
So there were big numbers across the board then.
Yes.
And then the trifecta would have been high and the double would have been high.
Yes. He had Andy liked Classic Empire, Guinevere, and Hence.
And they didn't do well.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So
what else
did
we
do great?
We'll get to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Good race, though.
All about that.
What's going on? Because once the Capitals went out,
you turn away.
I was done.
Yeah. Well,
I was done. Well, at some point on the PTI show, we're going to have to deal with the finals. Are they in the finals yet?
Not yet.
No.
Getting there.
We'll have to deal with the finals.
I think both series are at 3-2. The Predators beat the Ducks.
The Preds.
So they're up 3-2.
So they're advancing further without Barry Trotz.
Already, they've gone further than Trotz.
Than they ever have with Barry. I just want to make certain that I'm right on that.
I think that's true.
Okay.
And the Penguins in their series with the Senators from Ottawa, if you're familiar where they're from, after they got drubbed 5-1 in Game 3, they benched their goalie, Fleury, who was actually the backup goalie during the course of the season. They brought back the number one guy, Murray, I think his name is.
Andy Murray?
Matt Murray, maybe?
Okay. Yeah.
Or Andy.
I think it's Eddie.
Bill.
Yeah, one of the two. They won that. They won the fourth game 3-2, and then just crushed Ottawa last night 7-0.
So they're ahead.
Yes, they're up 3-2.
Okay, where was the game last night?
I believe the game was in Pittsburgh last night.
All right, so that's the game that you think.
And
they're
going to win. Okay. So in game three.
So then they're alive for a seventh game in Pittsburgh, no matter what.
Yes. Senators in game three had a 4-0 first period, and then here in game five the Pens turn around 4-0 first period. So you had a 5-1 and 7-0.
Did you want to talk about the Nationals?
I do.
The Nationals broke a four-game losing streak.
Stop.
Good newscast.
Okay. Stop.
So you're telling me to stop?
I'm telling you to stop. So yesterday.
Do you want to just finish the story, though?
No. So we leave Binghamton at about 11:15 to 11:30. 11:15. This is a five-hour drive. That's what it is. We got very fortunate in this regard that it was Sunday, so the work zones were not as numerous as they would have been any other day of the week. In fact, twice, Michael, we passed through areas where we would have been held up for about an hour and we're not held up
at all. Well, can't you now just use the doctor lane, that lane on the right with the
There's a VIP hard white line of some sort.
Not on 81.
Red cordon.
There should be, and a police escort.
Of course
there
should be.
Right. So we had the opportunity to listen to the entire Nats game on Sirius XM radio.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. But the feed we got was not the feed we are used to.
We did not
to.
Get Charlie and Dave. We got the local Braves, I think, because they give it to the home team.
Don Sutton and somebody.
Jim Powell. Doing his best Bob Uecker.
It was, it sounded like Brockmire. A couple of times I said
that.
Because here's what happened. They were vicious. That guy, Jim, was vicious to the Nats.
Hey, what do you do to a Nat? You squash him.
Yeah. And
oh, my God.
He called Bryce Harper a liar. Bryce Harper at one point claimed, I guess, we're listening on radio, claimed that the ball, he fouled the ball off his foot.
Which is why he did not run.
And he didn't run to first base. And this guy called him Pinocchio, said his nose is growing. So
oh, my God.
I mean, FP and Carpenter don't do this.
Right.
No, they don't do this.
Fairly positive. Would never go down that road.
Am I making this up?
No, I'm just enjoying that I get to relive the commentary from yesterday's car ride again.
I just
again.
Thought, and we were.
I mean, it was good.
Yeah, it was great.
Don Sutton's good.
Don Sutton's a color guy.
Well,
they go back and forth, and what? Don Sutton approaches it from the player's career. So he brings up good points as to, you know, like, hey, Ryan Zimmerman, continued. If he wants to fish, let him fish.
Yeah, he talks about bait and chum and fish a lot, Don Sutton, because I guess he's
Don Sutton, a fisherman.
I guess
well, Atlanta being a coastal town.
But I was just, and throughout the entire game, how bitter were they about the unearned runs?
They brought it up at every in and out going into the broadcast.
Jaime Garcia, you know, he gave up two.
Well, he's pitching
unearned.
Great. Yeah, well, you know,
gave up two unearned, and that's what. So anyway, so it's 3-0.
How about the way the Nats have owned? And I remember it doesn't seem like too long ago
when the Braves owned them
completely on the Nats. But
well, but
the Nats,
well, they lost beat the series. Owned them. The Braves lost beat the them series. 2-3.
I understand, but okay. I mean, over the last 50 games.
So now it goes into the seventh inning, and then it goes into the eighth inning, and Strasburg is still in, and I'm beginning to get very agitated. And I'm saying, don't they have anybody up? Don't they have anybody up? And whenever the announcers go on, we find out, no, the Nats don't have anybody up in the bullpen as we enter
the
eighth inning.
It was in the 80s. It was in the 80s.
In the eighth inning. And then, I guess Dusty left him in one too long. Okay.
Yep.
Left him in one too long.
Dusty
loves
to leave him in for 100. I mean, you got those guys. He will pitch that. They're 115 pitches.
How many did Strasburg throw?
118.
Here's what happened on the last batter. Last batter who doubled and drove in two runs. And Michael can attest to this. I was saying when Strasburg is in a 3-2 and three straight pitches are fastballs that are fouled off, that means he cannot get that by him anymore. He doesn't have the strikeout.
In that position, the batter knows exactly what he's going
to
get.
Right, right.
Yep.
And then he doubles off the wall. So now they bring in Coda Glover, and I'm
crying. You're apoplectic.
I am.
Yeah,
Michael
me too.
Likes Coda Glover much more than I do. Coda Glover struck out Nick Markakis, right?
Yes.
Yep.
But then did he give up a hit to the first batter in the ninth?
Yes, Matt Kemp singled to right.
At that point, we were back within the Washington limits, and we turned on the local broadcast.
Heart rate was a little bit high at that point. You look at Matt Kemp and you realize, I think he was batting close to 500 in this series. And we got the luckiest line drive play.
To Ryan Zimmerman.
Did you see the highlight?
No,
I
didn't.
He rips it. And the only reason
that's going to score a run.
It might have gone foul, but
yeah.
Ooh,
I mean, hands. Zimmerman is basically standing on the base because he's holding Kemp on. So it goes right to him. Michael's right. It might have curved foul, but it was hit a million miles
an
hour.
Well, let me ask this. Is he right at the base?
Yes.
Does he catch it in fair territory?
Yes.
If it goes over the, what's
it
the rule?
Probably he was right. The bag, he was actually right before the bag. Yes. He's about a, you know,
he's in front of it. He takes one step back, tags him out for a double play.
But it's hooking, so it might go.
It might have hooked foul, right? But it was hit. He was not fooled on the pitch. I mean, it was blasted.
And then the third out is what? Is a pop up?
Yeah.
Third out is a pop up.
Glover after the game just goes, it's good to be lucky.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because they're not, the bullpen is a lot of things. Lucky would not be anyone that I would have used. So we got to listen to the entire game, which was, that was fun.
Love that.
Yeah.
Baseball is a great radio sport. Now, I mean, much more so than anyone else.
Had they blown that lead, I mean, do you have like a hot pot in your car that you can boil eggs while you're driving? Or do you have to pull
over
somewhere?
Sheets.
How about Strauss throwing nearly 120 pitches? I mean, he didn't leave him out there that long a month ago.
I wouldn't have left him out there.
He leaves those guys out there, man. Through 120.
He's always been accused of that, but especially given the bullpen situation.
I mean, the bullpen is horrendous, so I guess, but he
So in other words, he could say to the general manager, you don't want me to tax their arms? Get me a couple of people I can depend on now.
I think it was where the Braves were in their lineup that he got the inning before the eighth that allowed him to sort of carry that over into the eighth inning.
Into the eighth.
And you have to look at his strikes to balls yesterday because he was incredibly effective.
Yes.
And it's one of the, you know, very he had, what, 11 strikeouts
86
again?
86 strikes out of 118 pitches. That's impressive.
Very so I think he was within his, you know, comfort range.
By the way, and they needed it because Scherzer was way off on Saturday. I watched that.
Radio contact. When I go someplace, I don't watch television. Yes, I'm done. I'm done. I have no idea what happened. Not is Donald Trump still the president?
Yeah, I was going to say, you saw he resigned, right? I think it was Saturday morning.
Very much so.
I didn't know.
Scherzer got knocked around. I mean, he just didn't have...
Rain delay didn't help, too.
And a rain delay.
What else do we have?
I want to take you to British Columbia, Mr. Tony. If you have not seen the video of the sea lion and the little girl...
Oh, this happened in Canada?
Yes.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, British Columbia.
Yeah, British Columbia.
Well, is that not Canada?
It doesn't matter.
Opinions vary.
What is my opinion? Yeah.
I think it's Canada. Okay.
I'm just one person.
Steveson's Fisherman's Wharf near Vancouver, British Columbia, is where this occurred.
Do you know where it is.
Do you know that...
Oh, correction. I'm sorry.
That's Wilbon's favorite city in the world.
That is my favorite North American city.
It's his.
It is a tremendous, tremendous city, Vancouver.
Mine's Omaha.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Omaha.
Steaks. Good steaks.
Paramus is always very nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful there in the winter.
In this video, you see a very adorable sea lion, you know, poking his head out of the water, and there's a little crowd of people there, and I guess they toss it some food, and
some
it's
fish. Always a good
smart
idea.
Move. Smart move. Feed the wild animal.
And there's a little, just adorable little girl, and she's sort of waving at it, and the sea lion's like bobbing his head, and you're like, this is National Geographic, Disney, it's just beautiful. The little girl sits on the edge of the dock. She can't be more than about 8 or 9 years old.
Not even, I'd say.
Maybe seven.
Yeah.
And she sits with her back to the sea lion. And what in a
never turn your back on a sea lion.
Evidently, in the
sea
flash
lion
of an instant,
sea lion.
The sea lion pops out of the water, grabs her and
pulls the shirt,
yeah, and just drags her into the water. Within a millisecond, there are people diving into the water to get her out of there. She was unharmed, obviously very shaken, and the sea lion's accounts whereabouts right now are not known. And I would like to point out that the bloke who jumped in, I don't think it was related to her. But he lost his sunglasses. I think people aren't really focusing on that.
But he did fortunately still have his wallet in his pocket. I saw that when he got out of the water.
The feeding.
How deep was the water there?
Well, it was a pier. So, I mean, it was
close in.
No, there were some big boats there. I mean, it could have been 10 feet of water.
It was over your head. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't something you could stand, you know.
Did he have to rescue the girl, the sea lion in the head?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt you. The sea lion pulls her into the water, appears to have, like instantly released her.
Right.
Realizes this doesn't taste like I thought it was going to taste like.
Right.
So, yeah, he jumps in. By the time he jumps in, she's already sort of free from the sea lion, but he's able to sort of hand her up to the people there. You should go...
it's terrifying.
You should Google the video if you haven't seen it. I don't know what the scientific term is for it. You may, now that you're a doctor. But that the instant in which the force transfers from her leaning away... I mean, the thing pulls her in like an absolute ragdoll.
Two seconds.
Yeah, with lesson two.
Oh, last. It's terrible. The guy goes in. She's not in the water for more than, what do you think, Michael? Second and a half, 2 seconds.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
She's not in the water for a long time.
Yeah, the people on the scene jumped on it very quickly.
It's just weird because it's a wild animal being fed food. So it's weird that it would have the reaction of trying to get more food.
The guy, I think it's actually the guy ultimately who jumps in, but before it pulls her in, he's sort of like, reaching over with his hand with sort of nothing in his hand but rubbing his fingers together, like, here you go.
Yeah,
here you
appears to be teasing it.
And you can see it sort of looking, but
you're
who knows
taunting
what its eyesight.
The sea lion?
I'm guessing a sea lion's eyesight, like on land, isn't
they suspect,
awesome.
They suspect you know? That they thought the girl, the sea lion thought the girl's shirt was some form of food. Because it had floral patterns on
that's
it.
That's what the sea
like
lion
that.
Wants you to
yeah,
think.
That's, yeah, that's what's been put out by the sea
lion.
Oh,
I thought
people.
It was food. Hey, oh, hey. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. awesome video.
I'm glad everything ended well.
Everyone's fine.
Well, it might not have ended well for the sea lion, is what you're suggesting.
I hope so.
Well, whereabouts
I
unknown.
Hope that's unknown. Incorrect.
Well, he's on the run.
All right.
He's on the way out.
So you're done, right? We'll take a break?
Yes.
We'll take a break and we will come back with Old Guy Radio, in which I will talk a little bit about my weekend. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Whether football, basketball, or baseball is your sport of choice, you know that the key to winning is a strong roster. And great coaches know that having the right players comes from scouting in all the right places. Finding great talent for your business isn't any different. You can't find all the best candidates by posting your job on just one site. You need to post on all the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter. At ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your position. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. There's no juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. And right now, listeners to this podcast can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Tiny Dancer. This is Elton John singing, and the reason we're playing this today is because his collaborator on so much of his early work, Bernie Taupin, is 67 years old today. In terms of critical commentary, if you saw the wonderful rock and roll movie Almost Famous, they devote 5 minutes to this song, and it's just wonderful. This is one of the
love
really
it.
Good Elton John tunes.
Oh,
I mean,
amazing.
He made a million of them, but this is one of the really good ones. There's a tremendous body of work, the two of them. Didn't they do some album called
Two Rooms?
Two Rooms,
do
where they...
Do they not? I thought Bernie Taupin still wrote.
He might,
Elton
but
John, like that.
Well,
that's
he might, but Elton John has
partnership.
Elton John has worked with other people. I thought.
Okay.
I didn't know that. What was the show that they did that Elton John does the lyrics in the show?
Nope.
Was it not The Lion King? Does he
yes.
not?
Well, yes,
I mean,
he did,
sings in
right.
it certainly. I mean,
right.
Circle
I think,
of Life like, is him.
Yeah. I think that there was he had a different. If you could look this up,
yeah,
I think he had a different collaborator for that particular show.
Huh. And to contemporize it a little bit, if you're a man of my age with teenage kids, you can relate to them because Ed Sheeran's currently very popular Castle on the Hill alludes to singing to Tiny Dancer. There's a lyric where he says,
oh, is that
you know,
right?
driving down country road, singing to Tiny Dancer.
It's a great tune.
Yeah.
It's a great tune. So I spent the weekend...
And by the way, I assume you probably would have seen this. I remember from the Grammys a few years ago, I think it was Ed Sheeran's first, you know, sort of his coming out party. What was that called? The A-Team? The A-List? The his first
A-team.
Song? Yeah, he performed it at the Grammys, and I think he performed it with Elton John. So those
so
guys have some
so
existing
So he idolized Elton John.
Yeah.
Which is...
seem to think.
Completely reasonable.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
Great talent. He's a great talent.
Soul.
Can you see anything like that? Did he...
I'm reading on Bernie Taupin. It says that they've... Okay, so they have collaborated on 31 albums.
Yeah.
He and Elton
wow.
John.
Yes.
The most recent is The Diving Board, which was released in September 2013, and they're a new one called... Oh, no, this just hasn't been updated. The next... They're, so 32, Wonderful Crazy Night, released in February 2016. But... he has collaborated with others. He wrote "We Built This City" by Starship.
Yeah.
"These Dreams" by Heart. He wrote songs for Alice Cooper. I mean,
this is Bernie Taupin.
Yeah. Yes,
but I think Elton John is collaborating with Tim Rice.
I'm looking
at
Elton
point.
John. Yeah, I wrote Elton John collaborators, which
right.
is a lot of people. Like Eminem comes up.
Okay,
because
all
you
right.
know they did that.
No, I don't
together.
Think he's in. I don't think he doesn't like.
Oh, interesting.
Bernie
Elton
Taupin
John
anymore.
And John Lennon doing "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds."
Well, it's singing, but they didn't write it.
Yes, they didn't write.
No, but I thought he wrote
with others.
Okay, I thought he wrote this is who the Lion King with somebody else. I don't. I don't know. All right, let me get back to my story. I'm losing fast here. So I spent the weekend in Binghamton, New York, where
You are right, by the way, Tim Rice and Elton John, 100% right.
Thank you. And Tim Rice, I think.
Yeah, internet.
I think that Tim Rice was an original collaborator with on Jesus Christ Superstar. I believe that's true.
He wrote with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
With Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Superstar, Evita, and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Right. Also the Broadway version of Listen Up.
Which was
I loved that.
Short-lived.
What?
No relation to Jerry or Minute.
Short-lived. So on Friday, I'm going to thank my son and daughter-in-law more than anybody else because they went with me. I mean, I would have gone alone to Binghamton for this weekend, but they went with me and endured me in a car for a long period of
11
time.
11 total hours.
Yes.
Thank God they went, though. Someone was there to document it.
How much
awesome.
How much headphone time? About 10 and a half?
No, we
chatted.
That's a lot of sign reading.
Stopped here and there. Michael really enjoyed the stop in Frackville.
Mattresses. I really like the St. Clair stop.
And the St. Clair stop a little bit better. That you can go to either Frackville or St. Clair, and I made the wrong move the first time.
Oops. Well, you promised me a great rest stop experience after you just flew by Gettysburg, which has beautiful. A million great stops.
Schuylkill County, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah. And that's way up in the clouds. That's 20 degrees colder than any place else you've ever been, and seems to have a bunch of people who you don't encounter in your normal daily life, right? That'd be fair to say.
Well, it's a crossroads. People are going home.
Yeah. Frackville.
Yep.
You come down. If you're going north on 81, you come down out of Frackville, and then your next big place is Hazleton, the birthplace of Joe Madden.
Oh, interesting.
Joe Madden from Hazleton.
Also, Congressman Lou Barletta.
I'm unfamiliar with
his
work.
So you stop there to hit the Dutch kitchen, get something to eat?
Oh, yeah, that's Amish country, right?
Michael yelled at me not to. Michael said it was a bar. He said it was a bar, the Dutch kitchen. I said, let's go to the Dutch kitchen. He said, no.
Yeah, that would have been the spot.
No, this was actually a bar that you wanted to stop in at 9:30 in the morning to use the bathroom. I don't think it was open.
Okay, so we ended up at a very pleasant gas station. Okay.
The Speedway.
How was the wine?
Oh, yeah, Speedway.
Very pleasant gas. I had no wine at that hour.
No Kendall Jackson?
Had no wine at that hour. In any case, I'm very grateful.
Can I just parenthetically offer, and I'll quickly get off it, but I was at the KOA with Ike. A special
KOA is a campground thing.
Campgrounds.
Chris really goes to those a lot. With his children.
And I call it the Ritz Carlton.
We had a little Indian guides camp out. Spike had to stay in town for some big games he had, but Ike and I were out there. And when we got there Saturday morning, they were having the wine tasting with, of course, all those vintage West Virginia wines,
which everybody loves.
And the wines there, when you talk about Nigel, when you said how was the wine, was hysterical. You know, they talked about how the West Virginia hills are perfect for the famed French American grape. Which is a grape. It sounded sort of made up.
Not
to
familiar
me.
With that.
It's called
one.
Fromerican, I think is how it's
and
pronounced.
Franco American.
The wines they said will go from dry to sweet, and I will tell you my reaction to the second wine, which was like a mix between like a white wine and a red currant
soda.
Was like, this would be delicious on pancakes.
Soda.
And I thought, sweet. It was kind of like a Fanta grape soda.
Yeah.
I sort of thought, I don't think I can even go to the third wine if this is sweet.
All right, so we drive up there, and I'm going to get a doctorate in a doctor of letters. But I don't actually know when this is going to happen. As Michael can attest, I thought it was going to happen on Sunday.
That was my impression.
That's what I thought. Yeah. But having Liz in the car was great because she knows how to email. And so she emailed.
Well, that was a big...
Well, she can't do that from the
car. Thank God you found someone.
Like an electric outlet in your car?
So she emails Sheila Doyle, who's pretty much in charge of my whole life when I'm in Binghamton. And Sheila tells her that indeed that day, I am going to get my doctorate. And I
because I saw the pictures online with you holding it. From Michael.
I had
Friday.
No idea.
Yeah.
I had absolutely no idea. And I have not said this to Michael, but there was a period of time when I realized when I was sitting up there, there were four different people who were getting doctorates, and one of the people was going to speak, and he was going to speak about Easter Island, where he was born and raised. With all the heads, Easter Island.
More of a Friday speaker, not a Sunday primetime.
Well,
guy.
I don't know about that.
I don't know that a lot of people were born and raised there.
Very few. Yeah. And he had become the first governor of Easter Island. He's a very interesting guy.
You're on television. So.
Okay. He was a very interesting guy. Anyway, Anyway, as I was sitting there and they called my name and they read the little thing about what I had done, I actually felt I might cry. I'd had a lump in my throat, and I was really glad that I did not have to talk. I was amazed by this because my contributions are, to me, very slim. You know, well, I try to be funny.
I would understand.
That's what I do with my life. I try to be funny.
The emotion there is understandable because it was the end of a lifelong journey of about 9 months of you trolling for this degree.
Yeah, so, begging them to give it to you.
Undeserved.
A lot of emotional energy. Unexpected
and undeserved. You know,
it is sweet.
Yeah, it was cool.
To hear your life talked about, I mean, that's neat. You've come a long way.
Well, they only talked about me for less than a minute.
On the Easter Island guy?
No, well, he spoke. What did you think? You were watching from above. Michael and Liz had taken a lot of pictures.
I felt some goosebumps just because it's touching to hear this, you know, the very kind words about you, but just the reaction of everybody on that campus to your return. And they show such gratitude that you carry the school forward with you, which is, I think, what any institution would love to see. And I wish that they could really learn and understand just how much you appreciate that school and how close you still carry it to your heart.
I did not.
They wouldn't have picked up on that by listening to his speech, I'll tell you that.
I don't have, when I came out of high school, I did not have enough money to go to any other school. I had to go to a state school. And it was the best school and is the best school in New York State. And I'm very happy to have gone there. And state schools provide a lot of opportunity for a lot of people who would not necessarily go to school otherwise. The New York State system is a fabulously large and complex state system of schools where you can get a wonderful education. And even though I have become a fantastic snob later in life, I have
thank God.
Yes, I have great, great fondness for everything that I did at that school. And so the one thing that I mean, I'm not going to dwell on the speech that I made yesterday morning, but the one thing I wanted to do, and I want to say it came to me in a dream. It didn't come to me in a dream, but I thought about it a little bit as I was going over to the school, as we were driving in the morning. I was going to be on at about 8:30 or 9 o'clock or something like that, and I was going to just try to be funny. I was just there for grins. See if you can make the students laugh.
You can see it online. It was tweeted out.
So what I did was I asked Harvey Stenger, who is the president of Binghamton and who I like very, very much, because I'm wearing a regalia hat. One of the things that we learned, or at least I learned, one of the things I learned is there is a real order to what people wear. This is what you have earned in your life in academia. And each little piece of bling is important.
Yeah, it's like the military.
Yeah, it's
each
like
color, each
medieval.
Orientation.
Right.
Yeah, right. And it is called, by the way, the thing that I think is a sash is actually called a hood, even though you don't wear it on your head. You wear it over your
It looks
neck.
Like a cowl.
Right, it's like a cowl.
It looked like a sash on you when it was halfway off your shoulder.
Yeah, but it gets, you are said to be hooded. When they put that on you, you are hooded at that point. And everything is meaningful. You can, as Michael says, the military, everything, you look at everything and you can tell the history of a person's career.
Well, that makes your move even more gangster then. I love it.
Yeah, so what I did, I
jumped the line.
I said to, and Harvey's wearing a necklace that looks like it weighs 1,000 pounds with all of, because he's the president and you get more stuff. As you go up the chain,
like
you get more stuff,
like
the fruit salad on a 4-star brigadier general or whatever that stuff is called. So I say to him, look, would this be okay? I will not do this if you don't give me permission, because the last thing I want to do is be out of line in something that is this formal. Could I dump this hat in the middle and put on a Binghamton hat? And he says, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So Tommy Dempsey, the basketball coach, went down into the store or went down into either the bookstore or wherever and brought up a baseball, right? That's a baseball hat.
I think
hat.
He went to the coach's office.
Coach's office and got me a baseball hat, green hat with a B on it, and about pretty early on.
Minute and a half.
I said, I'm going to dump
in,
much more.
I'm going to put on this hat because after all, I went here.
I love and people, that. That was great.
That was the chance.
Such a great movement. And just as someone who, you know, I know you, I don't know the place at all, but that's you. I mean, you know, you look to me, with up there with all the stupid official stuff on, you look stupid. Like a clown. But with the hat on, you look like you.
Yeah,
you know. And I'm like, all right, well, that's Tony.
So the kids liked that, and yeah, I was really happy that they liked that. It made me very happy, and I just was out there trying to be funny, and I was pretty.
You
funny.
Were. You did a great job. And now you're a doctor.
What is that?
It's pumping.
Well, I was a doctor on Friday.
That's how true. I meant now. That was the Sunday. Weekend's over.
I
right
sent
now.
A text. I guess you didn't
Am
get
I still
it.
A doctor?
My leg. I had a rash on my leg, that's and I didn't right. hear from you. So I, you know.
Is there a doctor on board?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I can handle this.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor of humane letters. Oh God, another one.
Well, my wife's so unimpressed. By the way, it's like, well, they just gave it to him. It's like
yes.
an honorary. It doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it's honorary.
I'm like,
yes.
he's a doctor.
I had the same experience. I was like, hey, Tony's a doctor. And my wife was like, what did he do
why
for it? I was like, he's famous. What does he need to do for it?
Why you gotta be hating on the franchise?
What?
Exactly.
Am I running around saying I'm anything other than a dope? No, I'm not. I'm happy that
so her contention was that you're not actually a doctor. And I said, well, he is.
Wow.
I mean, he's not going to prescribe medication. It's
let's not rule anything in or out about in terms
not
of
not that kind of doctor. But I have this certificate that says I have a doctorate.
Sea lion on in chatter.
Yeah,
for
here
those
it
who are here and
sea
haven't
lion.
Seen the video there, you get
yep.
the...
Yeah,
boom,
oh, there you go.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah. And boom goes the dynamite.
Great tackle of that sea lion.
Whoa.
Good. He really wrapped her up, you know?
And you notice the
get the sunglasses.
The sunglasses.
Get the sunglasses.
Away. Yep, floating away.
Okay,
congratulations.
So at least that ends my story.
Congratulations, though.
It is awesome.
That's pretty cool. Cool.
And you are
Kim, a doctor. I mean, no offense to Kim.
I wanted to.
The lovely Mrs. Saliza.
Tomorrow, I'm don't going to tell names, another story because I met a fascinating person. Yeah, a fascinating person. I met the United States ambassador to Palau, and I will talk about that tomorrow. We'll get out of here now and come back with jingles and email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
When the Safeway opens, I stroll every aisle. Take a look at yogurt. Why can't they be sponsor? When I roll through the outlets, my rule paramount. Gotta use a coupon, or get a senior discount. Need a new, never used, brand new pair of boat shoes. Another new, never used, brand new pair of boat shoes. New jeans, new gloves, with my new shoes. Don't need dress socks, I'll just borrow two. I don't know how to shop online. Alexa, don't know my size.
Very good. Very Robert Skolnicki in Winnipeg does the lyrics. Brendan, which Brendan in New Jersey?
Steam Merchants, New Jersey, right? Or
Brendan Borzelli, maybe?
We don't know. But that was a wonderful song.
Yes, we loved it.
That's Zydeco.
I thought Borzelli was
right?
Lebanon.
Zydeco.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
very good. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Bolin Branch and ZipRecruiter. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave us a review. We have this thing from Tom Sulek, I guess this is. If a medical doctor is an MD, is a doctor of letters, are you now Tony Kornheiser DL? Do you have to specify
DFL.
15 to 60 days, and do you now get to spend more time with Bradley Beal and the Orchid? From Dan Hewitt in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, where Ooh. Michael and I are headed sometime this summer. With Tony declining to serve as catcher for a first pitch from Michael, I guess that ends our hope of a heartwarming remake of Field of Dreams. There will not be a want-to-have-a-catch moment. I'd love to have a catch with Michael.
I had a catch with my kids yesterday. It was wonderful.
Michael can throw it. He can throw that fastball by you.
Yeah.
You look like
a fool, boy.
He can do that.
Yeah.
Ryan in Sudbury, Massachusetts. Dr. Grandpa, to keep up with the pattern of inviting you to events that have already taken place, you're invited to my wedding. It is Saturday, September 19th, 2015 at the Maidstone Club in East Hampton, New York. There was a golf outing on Friday, the 18th, which you would have been welcome to join. I did intend on inviting you, but the woman to whom I'm now related by marriage did not understand you would not have actually attended, and she had no interest in wasting an invite on some orange man who was always yelling. From Elliot Olshansky in Comac, Long Island, who we like a lot.
Yes.
In reading about your big honor this past weekend, I noticed a couple of interviews, and I was interviewed, I mean, you'd never say no, you always say yes. I noticed a couple of interviews where you were quoted as having no idea that the Mets' AA affiliate in Binghamton had changed its name to the Rumble Ponies. That struck me as
so
odd
good.
Because on the February 3rd show, you read about the Rumble Ponies in an email from me wherein I tried to use the Nats signing of Stony Brook alum Joe Nathan to get you to jump ship to the Mets. Obviously, you were wise to stay put, but I thought that you remembered what you say, or do Little's emails not count? Oh, well, I suppose it's better than asking if Michael could ride the mascot, or screaming that you don't care about the damn Rumble Ponies. So,
Rumble Ponies, good minor league team name. New Britain, Hartford Yard Goats. Best
what?
Minor league
Yard
baseball
goats
team.
Yard goats. Really good.
Hartford. My dad, when I was in Connecticut, he's like, "Hey, see, they renamed it. It used to be the New Britain Rock Cats." And
Michael,
they
explain why they're going to these nicknames.
Well, we found out that if they go to names that are unaffiliated with the major league team, they can keep a higher portion of the profits.
Ah,
money.
So yes,
the
merch.
Answer
merch.
To all your
yard
questions.
Yes. The yard goats stuff.
Money.
Is
you money. Could argue harder to get people there. Like the Potomac Nationals can probably say, or you know,
well,
come
yard
see
goats
them.
Are selling like crazy online.
Yard goats
it's like
is
a
great.
Goat eating
Rumble
something.
No, do you know what Rumble Ponies comes from?
Oh, ticks.
No. Rumble Ponies comes from the fact that Binghamton is known for having a lot of carousels with ponies on them, and so these are just Rumble Ponies. From Bill Isaacson, great, I write to report on two recent events loosely connected to your show. Earlier this month, my brother Mike, the true source of your Broadway tickets, was awarded the Robert Whitehead Award for Outstanding Achievement in Commercial Theater Producing at a reception at Sardi's. The speeches praised my brother's distinguished career, but oddly never mentioned the power of his emails. As an aside, Mike has also been nominated for a potential third straight Tony for A Doll's House 2. Second, while you were receiving your new degree this weekend, my wife Sophia and I celebrated 25 years of being related by marriage. I thought about sending you an invitation to the party, but if I had, you would have received a paperless internet invitation with an RSVP link rather than an RSVP card in the mail. I do not think it would have gone well. I also tried suggesting to Sophia that we hold the party at Chatter, but she questioned how that would work if the sign still said Chad's. Which, to my great chagrin, it still does. However, I can happily report we did receive a card from our friends Barry and Kathy that ended with a cheesery. And to my surprise, my wife laughed at the card, so maybe there's hope for another 25 years. From Dr. Lance Garman in the Department of Psychology at Salisbury University in Maryland.
Wonderful field hockey team.
I usually try to avoid sports references in my emails to Variety Show podcasts, but when I heard that my Salisbury University Seagulls had defeated Nigel's Denison University, no mascot available at press time,
Big red.
I wanted to share this quick story. I was at the annual SU Honors Banquet when our campus president mentioned in her comments that we had beaten Denison and advanced to the men's lacrosse finals. Clearly, I listened to this podcast too often since my first inclination was to yell out, "Eat it, Nigel." Considering the solemn occasion, I restrained myself and mailed the show instead, where such petty behavior is encouraged. So,
yes, it is.
Eat it, Nigel.
Thank you.
You're out on your bike tonight, everyone. As always, do wear white.
Let me ask you a question. How much do you think I can bench press?
Goddamn Will Bones, chilly blues. Get this monkey off my back. How much? Goddamn Will Bones, chilly blues. Worse than booze, a crack or smack. That's right. Give me some of that chili with extra cheese. That surely bring me heart attack. Listen up. I went for a meal of chatter, but I caused a terrible scene. When they asked me what was the matter, I said I don't see one damn chili bean. I walked here from Chicago, wore two holes in both my Gucci shoes. They say life just ain't worth a living when you got them Michael Ray, Wilbon, Little Bon, three screens on a Hall of Fame, Raw John, Chili Blues.
Children make you certainly you're in style. Well, did you ever stop and wonder? Did you ever try? Holes on your roof. Have her there.